Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. Dr. Bill earlier kind of laying out the next 24 hours, a little bit more here in this coldest weather, coldest temps yet of this winter, as you have tonight and after midnight, some precipitation coming in the form of rain in our area. But as we get to morning, temperature keeps dropping, and areas to our north, northern two-thirds of the state are definitely getting snow. He says maybe some accumulated snow as far south as Washington County, maybe flurries down in our area, but the real story is what comes afterwards, and of course, that is some very cold temps for Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. It is nice to have a buddy and a fellow host here at FM Talk 106.5 that can help us on a day like this. Dave Lifford from Today's Homeowner, Today's Homeowner Radio, and that radio with pictures, the TV show thing, the website, and he's everywhere. I kind of figure out, we got you home in Mobile for a little while. That's good. Hey, Danny.
Oh yeah. Hey, man, glad to be with you and glad to be able to hopefully help some people avoid some costly repairs to the house that are not fun to pay off when you're paying that plumber.
Yes, and it is, and if you're doing it yourself, DIY, and crawling in the crawl space, you know, a pox on the people that build the houses in the crawl space, or maybe I'm just getting bigger than I used to be, it's not a lot of room in there to work, Danny, when you're underneath the housework. It's not fun.
No, it's not a lot of fun. It is a little easier if you put one of the disposable crawl suits on that has the hood. That helps. You know, the headlamps, you know, we use them all the time in different things that we do, Sean, and certainly that's a great thing to have underneath the house. And of course, gloves and little eye protection all makes it a little easier to enter into that kind of mysterious area of your home.
Yeah, y'all listen to what Danny said on eye protection. We're going to try to keep you from having to go under the house and fix pipes, but guaranteed, even if you think it's not, there's dirt that somehow has accumulated on pipes and underneath the house, and the second you start working on something, all that dirt falls in your eyes.
Right, because you're usually on your back working overhead. Mm-hmm. It's going to find its way in there, but I'll tell you, the good news right now is that everybody has a little bit of time to get ready before the hard freeze tomorrow night. Head down to the home center and pick up some insulated pipe wrap. If you have any water lines that are traveling through unheated areas of your home, might be your garage, might be your attic, might be your crawl space, anywhere that you have those, it's so easy to take this peel and stick foam insulation, wrap around your pipes, and it's just like putting a jacket around them or a quilt around them. It's going to prevent them from freezing. And while you're there, also the foam hose bibs or outside faucet covers are so easy to install. They're very inexpensive and, you know, no tools at all required. That's a great preventative measure if you can do that today or tomorrow before the cold weather really comes in.
Yeah, I'm running those at our house. Those faucet covers like that, are they do make a difference? They aren't just a talisman to ward off evil spirits of cold?
No, they definitely make a big difference because it just traps that air around it a little bit. And when we're talking about the, you know, mid-20s and so forth, that will protect those hose bibs from freezing, no doubt about it. Now, I always like to remind people that if you don't know where your water cutoff is or you don't have the proper water cutoff tool, great investment and great piece of information for you to find out in the event, either now or any time, you know, during the year that you may have water problems. You need to know how to turn that water off to the house, and it's amazing how many people are just not aware of it. Maybe they moved in to a new house recently and so forth and just hadn't thought about that. Now's the time to think about it in the event that you need it.
Danny, I have to say, I love your tip that you have for people who aren't quite sure if there is a draft. I mean, they know there's a draft in the room, but they don't know where it's coming from. And the match trick that you have, that is, I mean, strong. Thank you.
How does that work?
You, Kelly. It certainly will tell you if there's a problem there. And I'll tell you, it's kind of an old school thing, and who has incense laying around anymore? But if you do get a stick of incense, got your little flashback going.
Yes, you dated us.
But that's also a great way to know any of those drafts coming through around. And that's another thing, while you're at the home center, think about the weather stripping, think about your door, your threshold, and any area that air is getting in is going to cause you some problems or cost you some money, just your heating bill, if nothing else.
Danny, will you just tell everyone how the match trick works, though, since you're the expert?
Well, certainly. On your inside, after everything's closed off, especially when you're talking about some of this wind, in taking a match and just lighting it and going around the perimeter of the door or window, it will flicker. It'll show you immediately if any air is entering in at that area. Then you can find out where the problem is and solve it.
Well, if it gets blown out like a birthday cake candle, maybe you have a real real issue.
That's a big sign, yes. That's an urgent need for some repairs.
I want to get to more of that, and also I love your attic trick. We want to get to that in a second, how to insulate those attic stairs. But I got to ask you this. As a Southern boy here looking at this and wondering, how the heck do, you know, we get in these situations, it's in the 20s, we got to run the water, we got to insulate the pipes and do all this stuff, but people in the northern third of this country the 20s is just another night in the wintertime. They get a lot colder than that. Are they having to run their water every night?
Well, no, not normally, because of the construction methods there and some of the extreme things they go for. As an example, your water line coming in from the street around here, a couple feet down in the ground, is plenty good. Up there, it's a minimum of 4 feet.
Oh, wow.
For that line to come in. Then when it anywhere it's above ground, they have everything insulated. Of course, the basements are very popular there, so that creates a warmer environment under those homes to, you know, prevent the extreme. Then just standard business practices, more caulking, more foam, more sealants in order to really encapsulate that they head off a lot of problems by going to that extreme.
Okay, so, you know, you talk about pipe wrap, you talk about those faucet covers. At what point is that not enough and you have to let the water run, or do you ever have to let those pipes drip?
Well, it's still always a good idea, and I always recommend choosing the faucet that's the farthest away from your water meter. So the one that's at the back of the house, certainly anything that's on an exterior wall, like a kitchen sink or bathroom, and leaving that dribbling just a little bit. Make sure the drain's open so that you don't have a backup there. And then another thing to think about, just before you go to sleep tomorrow night, before the cold weather hits, open up all of your cabinets below your bath vanities, kitchen cabinets, all of that, to give that a chance for your hot air that you're paying so much money for to circulate under there, and again, to prevent that type of damage underneath those areas.
That's interesting, though. You talk about finding that faucet that is farthest from your water meter and letting that one drip. So should one dripping faucet be enough, or should you open multiple faucets in a home?
Well, it's always better, as far as a peace of mind, to turn on several different ones. We're always conscious of, saving water and what it can cost. But just for a 7 or 8 hour, period of time, it's not going to cost you a lot of money. So a couple of those, maybe even three of them, if you have a larger house, is a good idea to have that water slowly moving through those pipes. Still a lot cheaper than trying to find that plumber in the days ahead.
Okay, and while we're at the home center, I love this, one of your simple solutions you've talked about over time. If we'll go through our home and go to the trap door there of the attic stair ladder things with the creaky springs, we can put our hands there and feel that temperature in the summertime is very hot on those attic stairs and very cold in the wintertime, but you got a solution for that.
Well, certainly, I'll tell you, it's amazing how many people just ignore that one area in your home when we're spending time to insulate our attics up to 14 or 15 inches thick. Then here's this big opening that's at least 2 foot by 4 foot that only has a quarter inch piece of plywood protecting all of that hot air. It's right this minute, if you don't have it insulated, it's acting like a chimney, all that hot air rolling right up into that attic. So there are very inexpensive disappearing stair covers that you can buy. Some of them look like a little pup tent that you can create, and from Duck Brands is one place, duckbrands.com. You can just put it right on top of it, very easy. But in lieu of that, you can take a piece of foam board that's only, you know, half inch thick foam board and some of the metal duct tape, and you can make your own little box about a foot high and then enough to cover over it, and then you just set it right on top of it. What it does is it's creating that air pocket that serves as an insulator and prevents any other air from getting in the attic. You'd be amazed at what it can do in the event over the course of a winter in terms of saving those heating costs.
And if those tips weren't great enough, Danny, the fact that you're saving people money, I mean, if they hear nothing else, their money's not flying out the window nor the door, because you're keeping it where it's supposed to be.
Exactly. And that's the same way with the pipe insulation. We tell people that, you know, when you're talking about a water heater and that water, that hot water is traveling from point A to point B, it's losing that heat and the BTUs as it travels towards the vanity. If you have all of these pipes insulated, it is going to save you money every day of the year, not only keeping those pipes from freezing, but also keeping it from losing so much heat as it travels to your vanity or your kitchen sink.
Hey, Danny, one last thing here, because we get the luxury of listening to you on Saturdays and Sundays here at FM Talk 106.5. You also hop on with us live here on the station, and people can, of course, watch the TV show on Saturday afternoons, but if you have something specific, and I am a consumer of this product, so let me share this with y'all. If y'all have something specific around the house you're doing, you can go to the website and just search what it is you're trying to do in the house. And Danny, y'all got videos on just about everything.
Well, we certainly do. There's so much there that we've accumulated over the last 20 years. And it's also very practical, realistic things that you can use and answers to your home improvement questions. So going to todayshomeowner.com, just like 3 million people per month do, had to drop that in there.
Wow.
You can find the kind of information that you need to help you around the house.
Now, well done, and we appreciate the advice and the heads up here on a what will be the coldest night coming up of this winter so far, but we'll have to get you back on when it starts getting hot again so you can help us save some money keeping the cool in the house.
Hey, glad to do it anytime, and hope you guys stay warm around there.
You too, Danny. Yeah, Danny Litford from Today's Homeowner Radio, TV, the website. Man, is everywhere. Joining us here on FM Talk 106.5. Yep, coldest temps of the year for tomorrow night. Possible flurries for Mobile and Baldwin County tomorrow. Dr. Bill will have more in our forecast coming up. Day 23, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have you here, Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane. Of course, you on the text line at 343-0106. And big thank you to our buddy Danny Litford for checking in. Some cold weather tips there, and it's a, like Kelly said, something that you do right now, but it also saves you money year-round, which is a good thing. That's, you know, one of the easiest ways, I think, to get people on a... people say, oh, whether they're green or not or environmentally conscious. Listen, the green, save money. Be right. Green that way. A lot of these things, whether it's a reduction in what it costs to heat and cool, amount of water usage, all those things just save you money every month too, which is nice. So if you can, if you got something happening right now, it costs you a couple bucks, you know, a couple bucks in this month, but it saves you money going going forward every month. I'm in.
Absolutely.
All right. A couple things I want to note here. Number one, a reminder here, the Back the Blue telethon going on with our news partners at WKRG. The phone number 662-3047, 662-3047. So I'm heading over there in the 11 o'clock hour, and at the beginning of Midday Mobile, I'll still be over there working the phone bank, and I'd love for you to give any time. So if right now is the time you can give to help out in the Back the Blue telethon in honor of slain Mobile police officer Sean Tudor, you could do it now. If you want to do it during the middle of the day, I'll be there taking your calls, so please call and make those big donations. Love to talk to you, and you make that... I tell you what, we said we set the bar at the $50 donation. I will listen to... you got a rant, something that I will just keep my mouth shut. I won't respond. I won't counterpoint. I will just sit and take it. And then you make that donation for $50.
Is there a time limit on that, or
yeah, keep it
20,
keep it under
30 minutes?
Five.
See, I think if someone
donates, because we're trying to raise money here, 5 minutes.
I think if someone donates, let's say $250, maybe $500, then they get to rant to you, but you have to agree to the. I mean, you have to go along with whatever it is they're saying.
Okay, even conspiracy theories. If you do, if you do it at $500, I will. I'll listen to every conspiracy theory. I won't counter. I will sit and take my medicine. So how about that?
That sounds good.
All right.
You may have family members calling in on that one.
No, it's going to be a long day, but it's for a great cause. Once again, y'all, seriously, the Back the Blue Telethon going on today, and we're just proud to be part of this. You can call 251-662-3047 to make your donation in support of Officer Sean Tudor's family.
Yeah, and as a reminder, that's not the only fundraiser. It's certainly a great one the WKRG puts on, but on our website and linked to the top of our Facebook page, a kind of a running list of all the different fundraisers that are going on, and a lot of them start today. You mentioned the Back the Blue Telethon, but also Blue Line Wash and Detail holding a car wash today at Spring Hill Medical Center. They're going to be there from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. Stop by, $10 donation, you get your car washed, and all of the proceeds raised go to the family of Officer Sean Tudor.
And you also can give to the MPD directly. They all have been talking more about and posting the link that allows you to give to the family, because in these first few days, of course, the community rallies behind the family. But as the days and the months and the years progress, this family needs to be surrounded with love. And, finances are there as well. So any way that you can give and continuing to do what you can, that's what it's all about.
All right. And the weekend that just passed, a violent weekend, a baby dead because somebody shoots through a door. It's been just disgust that I feel on this. If we continue these stories where we're just senseless, not confirming that any kind of shooting is, but senseless killing of innocents. I mean, how could you be more innocent than be an infant? And it just, and then we have the story that has gotten a lot of attention too, from what happened after the basketball game. And this has happened, according to WKRG, Mobile Police still looking for the person who shot two people outside Davidson High School on Friday. Some in the school system wonder if more security is necessary to keep families safe at the games. I want to run a little piece here, some audio from Nicolette Schleisman from WKRG. And also in this, you'll hear from somebody who can actually say something about this, Mobile County Public School System Board Member Dr. Reginald Crenshaw. This is what ran on WKRG.
Dr. Reginald Crenshaw is ready to start that conversation, how schools can be safer even after hours.
So I'm a basketball official also, so I see the hostile crowd just from the game, and you can imagine young people bringing situations from their community into the schools or into a public event trying to get revenge, and we just can't have that. We can't have our young people and adults being subjected to that type of lack of control in terms of fights and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, one of the things that was suggested here, and this is something we talked about before, and Dr. Crenshaw suggested metal detectors. I go back to our discussions that we've had at length on this show, and I don't know, and I get people tell me as soon as I bring up metal detectors, it's too much money. Or, Sean, if you put a metal detector on this door, then they go in the other door. You know what? Put a metal detector on the doors. I mean, a couple things. Number one, I would like to see this personal opinion. I would like to see the school resource officers in Mobile County allowed to be armed like they are in Baldwin County. I would push the school system for that. I also will push, just like Dr. Crenshaw, the metal detectors. The argument is, if you bring up anything, somebody will come up with a scenario where that might not work. Does that mean you don't try to mitigate? Because there's some situation where it might not work, then you do nothing? I mean, the idea is, you have shootings go on outside school and inside school, but you can't police what goes on outside the school, but you darn well can at least tighten down the reins on what happens inside a school. And a school with a metal detector, to me, y'all argue, tell me how I'm wrong, is safer than one without a metal detector.
Especially in this situation, there was a basketball game that night, Davidson and Blount, and you think about, you don't know who's coming to the games.
Right.
Not just children, but adults and people from other cities and counties and states. And so that's a great way to help regulate the safety when it comes to those who are coming into the gymnasium. And Dr. Crenshaw, he is a referee, and we've played in a number of tournaments where I've seen him, and I won't make eye contact because we know him, mm-hmm. You know, want to get into it, but you see how some of these parents who I guess were on their way to the NBA okay, and the things that happen, and there are emotions involved, and there may be some underlying things happening between children, and when you mix all that together on top of the fact that it's an open campus, safety should be key.
Metal detectors in schools, Mobile County. You support it.
836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How is everybody?
Hey, we're all doing great. 4 days left in January. That means only 4 days left to get a great deal on a truck at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, you know, everybody makes that joke about FOMO and fear of missing out. And Dalton, the reality is if you're a truck buyer, you can literally buy a brand new 18 truck what people are paying for 17 used trucks. So if you just put a picture in your mind of an 18, like Z71, let's say, people are paying $40,000 for used trucks. You can get for about $42,000 or $3,000, $44,000, depending on the equipment, a brand new $56,000 truck. So one of the reasons, Dalton, is that new AT4 and the new truck that's come in with that power tailgate and all the stuff that's freaking people out because it's so special. And, man, we just want to make everybody rush to McConnell Automotive or shop us at McConnellAutomotive.com before these deals end on Thursday.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. They're located on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right. Day 38 to FM Talk 106.5. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. All right. From the text line, cheaper solution for the basketball game, stop having them. Shut down the basketball program. All right.
Wow.
Would you say the same thing about a football program, though?
A little draconian, I think. All right. Texter says, with the metal detector idea, would private schools have to do them as well? If Mobile County makes a rule, are they prepared to help pay for it? Basically, I'm asking if private schools would be forced to purchase them as well, as opposed to public schools that will get them from our tax money. Private schools have basketball games with public schools. The school board shouldn't be allowed to tell private schools what to do. All right. I always like when you bring in nuance here. Also, how do you put a metal detector around a soccer, baseball field? What about cross-country or golf tournament? What if my gun is plastic? Well, we can go through the discussion of Glocks. And I mean, yeah, if you make one out of those replicator machines, that's another thing.
3D.
But by the way, Glocks do show up on metal detector. We can get into that. Okay, you started referencing all the different places where you wouldn't have metal detectors. And like I said, because I've had this discussion many times, I'm ready for that. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it in the first place. If you can come up with a, like, what if and what if and what if. Okay, let's say you can't put the metal detector around the soccer field, okay? Does that mean you shouldn't put a metal detector at the doors of the school? I mean, tell me, seriously. Does one equal the other? And I'm not asking that just rhetorically. I'd love to hear from you. If you can't secure X, whatever, or B, should you say, okay, well, therefore we won't secure A? It doesn't make sense. It's like saying that because I can't prevent a car from running over me at Mardi Gras, therefore I shouldn't take care of my heart. Because a car could run over me. I mean, it's, you look at this metal, do I think metal detectors, I'm not a Pollyanna. I don't think, I mean, there's some out there who say, oh, it solves everything. Nothing solves everything. And there are evil people, and there's evil in this world that want to hurt people. There's also circumstantial violence as well. It can't stop what happens in a parking lot. It can't stop what happens a block from the school. I'm with you. I'm a realistic dude. But it does harken back to this discussion of putting these metal detectors on schools. Something I listened to the other day. I say the other day, probably a month ago. Pretty interesting, and I got to tell y'all, this is just what I heard somebody say. I haven't done the deep dive in the research. This could be proven to be inaccurate. But this person said, check the statistics on inner city schools and the violence inside those inner city schools. Now, he didn't argue that there's violence outside those schools and in those neighborhoods. He said, check them inside the inner city schools. He said it's almost nil. Because they have metal detectors in the bigger cities, in these schools, they have to clear metal detectors. He said, so you're looking at an environment where there's a chance, probably a better chance, that one of those children might have hold of a gun and try to bring it to school. But he said, you don't see that. He said, why is that? Now, it could be a spurious correlation, but I think it bears discussing that they have metal detectors at those schools. Now, this doesn't, just saying, well, Sean, the metal detector won't solve all of these other problems. I'm with you, y'all. I'm with you. But does that, by its definition, mean you shouldn't try to do it at schools? And these are, and I, you know, I'm getting some text here, too, from folks in law enforcement. And This one from somebody who knows says metal detectors are only as good as the person staffing them. You need adequate training, policies, and staffing levels. You need three people per detector and a law enforcement backup. Okay. So once again, maybe it's the staffing of the metal detector versus how much the metal detector is in the first place. Could school resource officers do that? Can we, as we look at where money is spent in schools, where do you attribute that in a triage list, a priority list? I mean, would it be first, second, third, fourth? It would be on the second page. I think if you look at securing schools, and listen, the chances of a school shooting or something like that happening with like a dirtbag, that evil dirtbag that focuses on that school and wants to shoot it up, it is very, very minor. It does get our attention as parents because it's every parent's worst nightmare. But it is, as things that would hurt our children go, minor. But somebody with a gun in school, we have stories a couple times a week, kid brings a gun, these kind of things. The metal detector, I think, would stop that. That doesn't mean we're going to stop them from getting hurt anywhere else. It just means this would mitigate some of it. And so, therefore, I'm a proponent. I mean, somebody can show me that there's no way to do it, there's no possible way to implement it in Mobile County, then I'll say, okay. But until then, I'm going to push for it. I agree with Dr. Crenshaw. I also agree with arming. The Mobile County School Board has said no to it, but I believe our resource officers in public schools should be armed.
Do you know if there are any additional charges or a steeper penalty for crime on school property? I know there's other crimes like selling drugs if you're anywhere near a school property. I think that there's an additional charge or something along those lines, but maybe the penalties should be steeper. I mean, crime is already murder or attempted murder. That's already bad. But if it happens on school grounds, and maybe the charges afterwards would still not be as much of a deterrent. I like the idea of having the metal detectors going into the school, but maybe it should be an even steeper penalty for crime on school property.
Do you think that the people, and I don't know, it's no way to be in everybody's mind and everybody's heart, but somebody who would come in with a gun, are they motivated by the penalty? Does the penalty make any difference? Do they think about the penalty? I'm not looking at working on their psyche. I'm working at a physical barrier level with a metal detector to say that gun is not going to make it through here. You can come up with an idea. I see the text. Somebody could have planted the gun and somebody can bring it in and all that. Okay. You can come up with every scenario. Does that mean you don't try to do something here that, and it's not just doing something to do something. There's a lot of politicians that do that. But this seems like, until I'm shown otherwise, a at least logical way to at least secure some part of the school from somebody having a firearm in there, except for the people that are supposed to have the firearms.
You're supposed to be, you know, if this were a perfect situation, proactive instead of reactive, but now they're having to react to the situation because there are children who do want to play sports safely, and mm-hmm. there are parents and people in the community who want to attend a basketball game or football games and, you know, not lose their life.
No joke.
And so there's got to be, a happy medium where everyone can do such. Times have changed. It was back in the day. I mean, if you had some, as they say, if you had a beef with a person at school, you know, you duke it out and you go on about your business. But now you have emotions that are bubbling up, right? Mm-hmm. And they're marinating. And then you bring in, as we all know, how social media can get people against people. And then they're setting up a time to do something. And for all we know, this all could have been in the making, the beginning of the school day. Mm-hmm. And that this was just the culmination of something that went terribly wrong. And thankfully, no one died. But yeah, sure. How do you prevent this from happening? We like you said, I mean, we can't have our heads in the sand and think this only happens in the inner city or this only happens in a XYZ place. As long as there are people and there are heartbeats, there's a possibility for this to happen anywhere. So we need to get smart.
Yeah, and just saying that, and I'm with you, the harken back to a time when it was just a fist fight and all that, that's great. I agree with you, but that's not reality. Mm-mm. So you can sit and harken back all day long and the reality is it's happening. And by saying that you shouldn't put magnetometers, metal detectors at school doors, you shouldn't do that because there are all these other places where bad things could happen, I think is a line of logic that I don't buy into. I mean, just because you can't prevent it over there,
right,
you're not going to try to prevent it at the school, it leaves me scratching my head. I don't get the logic in that.
And you don't want to present a soft spot or a weak spot because, you know, there are many people who say, well, that type of stuff doesn't happen here. Let's get real. When bad people do bad things in, let's say, big cities, they get bored, so they want to find a new target. And how about a soft target where they know there's no metal detector, or they know that there's a lack of presence of police? You know, that becomes a target. We have to be smart, especially when it's our children. Remember when you could drop your kids off somewhere and allow them to have a good time and then come and pick them up? Now, do you have to put on a bulletproof vest for them to go? Hey, you know, we just need to be smart and be vigilant when it comes to a safe community.
All right, what's y'all's take? 343-0106. We'll grab your calls and texts when we get back. Thank you, Kane. 850 FM Talk 106.5. I got a way for you to get rid of some New Year stress. Get rid of the junk that is piled up here. Get organized in 2019 and bring the pros in to make it happen quickly. That's my buddy Trey and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Mobile County, Baldwin County, residential, commercial. Heck, you got a storage unit. You don't know what's in there any better than I do. Like, I could come out and guess what's in there as good as you could. Maybe it's time to get rid of the junk and save that money every month. You got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Easy to make that appointment, too. You go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll give you a specific time and a day. Then you can document the junk, get a treasure map to all the junk around the house, and lead the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK to what it is they need to move. Check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK today. All right, go to the phones and also text line. Let's see. Donnie says, Kelly's onto something. Social media plays a vital role in most of these beefs that young people cannot let go. Maybe some sort of Facebook, Twitter monitoring may be helpful, or even rewards to students who report potential problems brewing between other students. All right, so there's like the intelligence side of it, and then the defense side would be, you know, the magnetometers, and I still, you know, would suggest that it's good for Baldwin County. It would be good for Mobile County to have our resource officers armed.
I like that idea, though. We just recently, remember last week, we had a situation where a child reported, you know, someone had a gun, and, you know, the school system was able to work with that. Police department was a bottle of battery, and they were able to, and this was at another game.
Yeah, game. Yep.
Right.
Yep. That's right. Let's go to the phones, and Chris in Mobile first up. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good morning.
We're good.
Fantastic. Now, my comment is just having the magnetometers as a deterrent alone is, I think, would it be more than sufficient. If you just look at, like, retail stores and stuff like that, just the mere presence of signs saying that people are being recorded, or them being able to visually see the cameras, it has been proven to reduce theft in stores. And it's a deterrent. You know, and they also...
Oh, go ahead. No, just saying, yeah, a deterrent. There's a deterrent to keep people from trying it, and there's just the nitty-gritty of catching the person that's trying.
Exactly.
There we go. Appreciate the call. I would have... you know, and Michelle says on the text line, schools equal prison, ? Well, do airports equal prison? Does Government Plaza equal prison? Well, airports equal prison. That's maybe a slippery slope. Does Government Plaza equal prison? Anywhere with a magnetometer? I don't think that's a fair thing to say. Michelle, do I wish it wasn't so? Absolutely. The dad of two young children, Michelle, I wish everything was perfect. I really do. But it's not. Mm-hmm. And with that, we have to be aware. And do I think that it solves everything? No. That would be some kind of, you know, news clip, politician soundbite kind of stuff. I don't believe that it solves everything. I do believe, like Chris was saying before, it's a deterrent, and maybe you catch that person that actually does try it. Let's go to Mark in Sims next. Hey, Mark.
Good morning, guys and gals. How are y'all doing this morning?
Great. Good morning. How are you?
Well, today is, I guess, agree with Sean Day. I certainly agree with the fact that resource officers should be armed. There's, you know, there's no reason why they shouldn't be. There, most of them are former police officers, mm-hmm. former law enforcement, and.
You heard the sheriff say. Sheriff has said in the past. Sheriff Cochran said he'd deputize all of them. He'd do the thing to make it. Make it. You know.
No doubt about it. The problem I have with the magnetometer is a great idea. You know, it's a good idea, but I think the cost is the prohibitive thing about mm-hmm. it. Just, you know, someone's going to have to pay for them. First of all, you got to get the equipment paid for, and then someone's got to man those things. You know, it's not just putting them there. You think about when you go through the airport and or some of the places where you have to empty your pockets. So at an event, you can't just have one door into a place. You know that. You got to have several doors into a place, several exit doors. You have to stop people from opening fire doors, letting someone sneak in. So you have to have security inside the building to allow that. So you're looking at, you know, just let's call an event. Let's just say. I'm going to throw a figure out there, $3,000 to $4,000 worth of labor to have an event. You know, certainly teams can't afford that. You know, the Mobile County Public School System loans out their gym or rents out their gyms to these small basketball groups, these little, you know, church type leagues, and let them use that. The church league can't afford something like that. So who's going to pay for this?
I don't know. That's a fair question.
It's sad that we have to
fair
do
question.
That. You know, it's really sad, but someone's got to pay for it.
No, and Mark, that is a fair question. That's called being open-eyed, saying, yeah, we can do this, but who's going to pay for it? Like my buddy in law enforcement told me all the people it takes to man one of these magnetometers. Those are fair questions. We do have a lotto bill coming up. You know, maybe part of the, you know, if they pass a lottery, that'll be, you know, part of the funding source. And maybe there's, how do they do it in other schools where it's implemented? Where do we put our money? I mean, it's a... at least something I think needs to be looked into. And if you can show me, I am a guy that if you show me that it's impossible and there's no way to fund it, then I'll say okay. But I want to make sure that we've done the due diligence.
Maybe
all right.
A bunch of small yapping dogs who could be right there at the entrance who will just alert
some.
You. I know, that's
I
what I'm saying.
Like
who will alert you.
They'd bark at everybody, though. Let's go to David in Mobile.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the last call and what you were saying, you know, sad we need to do it, but maybe we do. But the question I have for you is, why do we seem to have more issues in some activities than other activities? And let's start researching and finding out why this is, and then maybe look for some solutions there and maybe cut down on some problems that way.
I don't know if it's like just the new way. That's what we're talking about this morning. Like Kelly and I were saying, hey, remember the old days when it wasn't that way? And that's great, but the problem is, David, it is now. You know what I'm saying? This is I wish there was just a fist fight, you know? I wish somebody just got their shirt torn and a black eye and it was all over. But we can't undo what's... I don't think we changed. I mean, we got to push it and absolutely say it's unacceptable, but can we all of a sudden just wave a wand and it goes away? With a tear in my eye, I say, no, we can't.
I think part of it is football and basketball are king. And if you see how many people show up to football and basketball games compared to a lot of other sporting events and how the emotions run high in those games, I think that probably plays a part in it.
Yeah, it's just the, you know, the reality of where we are. So what do we do? Okay, we've identified. So what do we do going forward? I'd like to see a real deep dive in the research on, can we do the magnetometers? Can we arm the school resource officers? We've had this discussion before, and unfortunately, we'll probably have it again. All right. See you at noon today. Remember, Back to Blue Telethon going on with WKRG. The call-in info is on our Twitter and Facebook page.